weeks now, we have been covering the subject of immunity through uncommon standards. For the last few sessions, we have focused on Daniel while he was in Babylon as an exile. And while he was there, he made some very critical decisions that was dependent, that depended, sorry, determined his immunity. So while he was in Babylon, we all know that he made a decision not to eat the food of Babylon. And then he asked to have a diet of vegetables and water for 10 days. And in our last session, we spoke to you about 10 as the 10 commandments. The first four commandments dealing with our worship to God, the next six commandments dealing with our service to man, which was regarded as ceremonial and moral law. And each of those commandments, as we examine them, should be fulfilled in our lives daily so that we are immunized while we live in this world. Now, remember that these young men that were in Babylon, the culture that they were used to was totally desecrated. As Hebrew boys, they were introduced to a food that they were not used to. They were not allowed to eat unclean foods. And so this was a very big culture shock for them when they were in Babylon. Also, they had to fellowship with other slaves and prisoners, which was also a major shock for them, totally different. They were introduced to food that was offered to idols, as you know, because much of the food that was eaten in Babylon came from idol worship. And they had to eventually be forced to bow down to the image of Babylon or the image of Nebuchadnezzar. That every time the sound or the flute was played, they were supposed to bow down to the image of Babylon. Now, if you take those four things and you align them with what we call apostolic culture, which is in Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 42, where there's doctrine, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer, you'll see that it lines up with how these boys had to endure so much of persecution while they were there in Babylon. But because they remained highly focused, because they were determined, because they chose not to defile themselves, as we mentioned previously, we see how God immunized or protected them in Babylon. Today, Babylon is a metaphor of the world, which is a place of confusion, where everything you learn in church will be tested. Every culture that you learn in church will be tested in the systems of Babylon. You will be often tempted with food offered to idols. You will be often tempted to fellowship with people that are unregenerated. You will find yourself bowing down to the image of Babylon, and that image comes in the form of different idolatrous practices. Your job can be your idol. Your friends can be your idol. Your material wealth can be your idol, and many other modern idols that we have today. Your football team can be your idol. Certain sport can become your idol. And anything that takes up your thoughts and your time in this world easily become idolatrous. And so we are faced with the challenge of maintaining our culture in a very confused world. And I find that during 2020, this was a test of whether we could maintain our culture, maintain our integrity, maintain our faith in the Lord, show that we have strong foundations for our marriage, for our finances, for our families, And all that has been taught was a test of whether we could maintain the culture and keep ourselves separated from this world. Now, the third thing that happened while Daniel was in Babylon, in Daniel 2 verse 14, the Bible says, "Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon." So you can see that Daniel had functioned with the wisdom and the counsel of God while he was there in Babylon. In Daniel 1:17, because the young men had become so resilient, so determined to maintain their culture, even in a confused place, the Bible bestowed them, God bestowed them in Daniel 1:17. "As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams." So you can see that they were bestowed, they were given wisdom while they were in Babylon. Now, this wisdom gives you an uncommon advantage, an uncommon favor, and it will give you divine immunity in the midst of a very antagonistic society. Daniel enjoyed immunity and uncommon favor because he was a wise man. Now, the wisdom of God is an uncommon standard that we must choose to live by. As mentioned on a few occasions from James 3:14 to 17, that there is the wisdom that descends from above and the wisdom that descends from beneath. The wisdom that comes from the earth is sensual and demonic because it produces envy, self-seeking, confusion. But the wisdom that is from above has seven characteristics, which are the seven pillars of wisdom, as recorded in Proverbs 9. And it is pure, it is peaceable, it is gentle, it is willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits. There is no partiality, and it is without hypocrisy. And that is the wisdom of God. Now, wisdom is a function of the Spirit. And when you enter the kingdom of God, you are born again because you are born of the Spirit. So wisdom is a function of the Spirit. I'll just give you a few New Testament examples. In Exodus 28 verse 3, "So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans." So there were gifted artisans that were being used to build the tabernacle of Moses. And it says, "Whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as a priest." Gifted artisans were filled with the spirit of wisdom to make the priestly garments as well as to make several pieces of the furniture. Exodus chapter 31 will also tell you that. Now, these gifted artisans were also filled with the spirit of wisdom. So what you need to know is that you have gifted artisans and then you have gifted spirit-filled artisans. There's a difference. So in this world, you will have people who are very gifted, talented, skilled, but they do not have the spirit of God. Then you have those who are gifted, but they are filled with the Spirit of God. And they have an unfair advantage because of what we will call divine grace. So in our series on the administration of grace, we covered salvation grace, common grace, and divine grace. Divine grace comes into us and can take whatever skill we have, fill it with the spirit of wisdom, and make it very unique. So most people that you would meet only function with common grace. But you and I, who are sons of God, we have this unique feature of the spirit of wisdom that can come into our lives, making us different from others. Deuteronomy 34, verse 9, the Bible says Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. And this is how he received this wisdom, because Moses laid his hands on him. The Bible says, for Moses had laid his hands on him. And so the children of Israel listened to Joshua and did as the Lord had commanded. Now, Joshua was the protege of Moses, as you know, but he was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. Now, to lead the people into the promised land, into dominion, into their posterity, into their promises, into their inheritance, into what God had promised to them through the mouths of many of the patriarchs prior to them, like Abraham and Jacob, etc. To lead them in, he needed the spirit of wisdom. You see, if you want to see your life move into the area of the inheritance that God has promised for us, if you want to see your life cross over, let me put it that way, if you want to see your life move into that which God has promised for us, you need the spirit of wisdom, just as Joshua did. And Joshua had to exercise those wisdom to deal with the city of Jericho, to deal with all the giants that were in the land of in the land that God had promised them. So you need to understand that wisdom, the spirit of wisdom, is very integral to you coming into the place that God has assigned for you. The Bible calls it the land filled with milk and honey, and the place where you can build houses and occupy land. And this is what the nation of Israel was promised and looking forward to. But many of them died very foolishly in the wilderness because of different kinds of sins, as you know. But the wisdom that was upon Joshua was to take them into this promised land. So you must know that the spirit of wisdom is necessary so that you can occupy that which God has planned for you. A lot of people do not come into the full measure of what God has planned for them because they lack wisdom. Now, in Proverbs 4:7, the Bible clearly says that wisdom is the principal thing. The word principal there actually is the word first fruit in the Hebrew. So wisdom is the first fruit. It is the priority. And the first fruit determines everything else. If the first fruit is holy, then the lump is holy. So if wisdom is the principal thing, then everything around you will also begin to become more fruitful and more productive because you've made wisdom a priority. So if wisdom is the priority, it's the first fruit, it's the principal thing, then everything around it starts flourishing and starts growing. Everything around it starts to become holy, because if the first fruit is holy, then the lump is holy. So don't be the lump, be the first fruit. Don't act like a lump. Learn how to make wisdom the first thing in your life. Make it the priority in your life, the spirit of wisdom that has to come into us. So we need to be wiser than the systems of this world. And when Jesus sent out his disciples, we all know that he said to them, you must be harmless as doves, but wise as serpents, because he knew that they were going to be tackled in the world. And the complexities of the current age that we live in requires us to have wisdom, so that we can have immunity. Now, just to tap into some more practical aspects, how does wisdom give us immunity? Let's read Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Number one, wisdom is the application of what you hear. Wisdom is the application of what you hear. The Bible is clear. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. And then there's a comparison. This is a person who is building his house on the rock. And because that person takes the word, hears the word, ponders on the word, meditates on the word, and then applies the word or does the word or builds according to the word, that person is likened to someone who is a wise man that builds on the rock. And by building on the rock, it does not mean that there will not be any storms. There will be storms. But you are immunized because you took what you heard and you applied it. You built with it. So the doing of the word helps us to build the strong foundation that will immunize you from the rain, the flood, and the wind. Because 26 of the same chapter, Matthew 7, tells you, everyone who hears the sayings of mine, that means Jesus is saying, whatever you are listening to, you are hearing me. I'm saying a lot of things to you. But you're not doing them. You're not taking them and practicing them. Such a person is a person who's building on the sand, and the house eventually will fall. So foolishness is when you hear the word and do nothing. That's a fool. When you hear the word and you don't apply it, we don't build on it. Now, when Noah heard what God told him to do, God told him, listen, build this ark. There was no rain, there was no wind, and there was no flood at that time. But he heard what God told him to do and he built it. He built the ark. And so because he heard what God told him to do and he went and he did it, he was immunized together with his family from the flood, the wind, and the rain. So doing the word is definitely immunity, and it is evident that you have wisdom in your life because you take the word and you apply it, you do it, you begin to practice it. When we say doing the word is a building process. It will not just happen overnight. It will take a long period of time. Just like for Noah, it took a long period of time for him to build that ark. But there was no wind, there was no rain, there was no flood. But at the time when the wind, the flood, and the rain came, he was protected. Because he took what he heard and he built and he built and he continued building and he built according to the design. He followed the pattern. So the word is going to build your faith. And as you hear the word and you do the word, you are building your ark, invisibly building your ark. And when the pandemic hits, you'll be saved. When crisis like we have at the moment takes place, you will be safe because you have chosen to build according to the word. That's wisdom. You took the word and you began to do it. You applied it. Now, oftentimes we can take what we receive and squander it. Proverbs 21 verse 10 says, there is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise. But a foolish man squanders it. Now, we are the dwelling place of God. We are filled with the Spirit of God. And we have the desirable treasure in this earthen vessel. And that desirable treasure is Christ. Christ is the treasure that we have. He is the hidden treasure in us. But it is our foolishness that causes us to squander what we have received. To squander means to be a prodigal, to take it and to waste it. So oftentimes, we as the dwelling place, having the oil which is the Spirit of God, having the desirable treasure which is Christ Himself, because of our foolishness, we tend to squander it. Now, 1 Corinthians 13:11 clearly states when you're a child, you speak as a child, you understand as a child, you think as a child, but as you grow, as you become a man, as you mature, as you grow in the things of God, you put away those childish things, and some of those childish things are foolish things. And those foolish things, they cause what we have received as a great treasure, what we have received in the Spirit of God, we squander it. Now, what are some of those foolish things? Foolish things is when we get into unnecessary contentions and strife. To put it in your language, when you just fight for nothing. Proverbs 18 verse 6, a fool's lips enter into contention and his mouth calls for blows. And oftentimes people get into contentious and strife-ridden situations because they don't know how to hold back their lips. They don't know how to hold back their words. And what you are doing is you are squandering the wisdom of God because you enter into a contentious situation too often. A fool is often opinionated because they think that their way is right in their own eyes. Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. When you go to the doctor, you must not tell the doctor what medication you want. That's your opinion. The doctor is an expert. He would know what you need. And don't go to the doctor and say, my neighbor is taking this tablet. Can you please prescribe this tablet for me? That's your opinion. You have not had sufficient training and education to know what medication is suitable for you. So, today, because you are a Google expert, you are highly opinionated. And so we find that many people end up in foolish circumstances because they are too opinionated, because they think that they are right in their own eyes. I often have to deal with people for different circumstances, be it construction, be it maintenance, you know, whatever, all kinds of things. And I tell you, people have got opinions about a lot of things. And it is important to do research, it is important to read, but when you are listening to an expert, when you get counsel from someone that is wise, listen to them. Don't maintain or stick to your opinion. Listen to someone who gives you wise counsel. The fool is very preoccupied with externals. Now, during this time, people are so preoccupied with externals. And, you know, Jesus called the Pharisees foolish ones because they were worried about the outside of the cup and not the inside of the cup. And he said to them, foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? And so people are consumed with outward appearances, especially on special days. They need the whole world to know about their special days because they are so concerned and consumed with outward appearance. They're not concerned about what is inside. They're not concerned about the purity of heart. They're not concerned about righteousness. They're not concerned about the fact that their marriage is falling apart, but they want to show everyone that they had a 50th birthday party. That is hypocrisy, and the Bible calls it foolishness. You're squandering the wisdom that God gives to us. A fool always hates wisdom and instruction. The Bible says a fool despises it. Proverbs 15:5, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. And many times, instruction comes from both the natural and the spiritual. You have people who are wise and can give you instruction. You have spiritual fathers that can also give you instructions. And some people don't know how to receive instruction. They don't know how to take the correction that they are receiving. But they end up in very perilous waters because they lack the wisdom of God to follow very simple instruction. A spiritual father is not there to massage you. He's not there to make you feel nice. You need to know this. That does not mean I am not an emotional person. It does not mean that I do not care about your problems. It does not mean that I do not feel with you. But you need to understand that a spiritual father's fundamental job is to give you doctrine. And sometimes that doctrine comes in the form of instruction, comes in the form of rebuke, it comes in the form of correction. Other times it will come as exhortation. It will come as inspiration, maybe. It will come to uplift you. But you have to understand that we are not designed, we are not sent by God simply to celebrate your birthday and bless you on your anniversary and celebrate all the special days with you. That's what you have a natural father for. That's what you have a biological father for. But and biological family. But a spiritual father is there to give you food in due season so you can live by that food. And make sure that when you eat that food, you do that which you have heard, you will build your house upon the rock. So when we act foolishly, we compromise our immunity. Okay? So don't squander the wisdom that God gives. Number two, wisdom will prepare you for the unexpected. Okay, wisdom, first one is wisdom is the application of the word. Second one is wisdom prepares you for the unexpected. I want to use the parable of the five wise and the five foolish virgins, which are in Matthew 25, verse 1 to verse 5. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps, went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Now, remember that this parable is about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like the 10 virgins. And there are two kinds here. There's five that are foolish, five that are wise. Just like you have wheat and you have tares. And you have good fish and you have bad fish. You have Jacob and you have Esau, etc., 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 throughout the scriptures. So even here, in a local church, you have mature and you have immature. You have foolish and you have wise. You have silver and you have wood, stubble, and hay. So this comparison is always there. And we need to learn, where are we? Are we wood, stubble, and hay, or are we silver and gold? Are we wheat or are we tares? Are we the good fish? Are we the bad fish? You've got to know. And here, there's five foolish virgins and five wise virgins. And they all went out to meet the bridegroom. So all of them are excited. All of them are pursuing. All of them are running after. All of them are going to meet the bridegroom. But only five of them were wise in that they took oil took oil for their lamps, unlike the foolish who took no oil. But the wise took their oil in their vessels with their lamps, but while the bridegroom was delayed. Just tell your neighbor, delayed. Now, that means the five foolish did not expect him to be delayed. They thought that when we go there, he's going to be there. So we will not need to take any extra oil because he's going to be there. But he was delayed. Just like everyone said Jesus was coming in 2000 and he's delayed, he never comes. So, here's the dominion principle that is associated with this parable. The five wise and the five foolish, all are virgins, all are expected, and all have grace. But these five virgins, well, prepared for the unexpected. And the unexpected was that he was delayed, because it was quite obvious that they did not expect him to be delayed. So, you see, wisdom prepares us for the unexpected. Just like when the 5th of March came and the first case was found in South Africa on the 21st or 27th of March or whatever date the lockdown took place, it was unexpected. Everyone, all the sporting events were cancelled. All the 50th birthday parties were cancelled. All the weddings were cancelled. And I can go on and on giving you the list of things that were cancelled because it was all unexpected. But you see, a wise virgin prepares for the unexpected. Now, these five virgins, wise virgins, took oil in their lamps and they made preparation should there be any delays. Let me put it now in a language that you can associate with. That whenever you're going on the journey, and we are on the journey of life, as you all know, you always have to be prepared for the unexpected. They ensured that there was sufficient petrol in the car. The car was not on orange. You know that light, that orange light comes on, tells you that the car is now on reserve. It does not matter if you press the pedal harder. It does not produce more petrol. You have to go to the filling station and you have to fill the petrol. So the wise person knows that there should be sufficient petrol in the car because they can prepare for the unexpected. The wise person will check that the spare wheel is inflated with pressure, because you can unexpectedly have a flat tire. But the foolish person does not consider that. In fact, they don't even know if the car has a spare tire or if the car even has a jack. Not Jack Daniels now, a jack that can actually pick up the car when you need to change the wheel if it gets flat. A wise person will ensure that there's oil and water in the car when they go to the garage to fill petrol. There's pressure in the tires, there's oil and water, the windscreen is clean, there's pressure in the spare wheel. That person is wise because they are preparing for the unexpected. Something that you never think will happen to you happens. The wise person will save 10% of their income because there's unexpected things that can happen, like COVID. You're down, and what do you do? But the wise person would have been prepared for that unexpected period of time. The wise person will have medical insurance, because you live in a very toxic world. Don't tell me, oh, my God is a God of faith. He sent his word and healed all our diseases, and you can give me the 100 scriptures on healing. No, the wise person prepares for the unexpected. And that is why they will have medical insurance. The wise person will have a will, because you can die at any time. The wise person knows that a little exercise profits the body, just as Paul said. He says a little exercise profit little, but take that little, that's 20%, and do it because it does give you some profit. The wise person knows you can eat everything, but in moderation. He knows how to manage diet. The wise person will have a light that is charged and kept in the house because we have electricity cuts in South Africa. It doesn't light a candle because you can burn your whole house down. And to top it all, you might not even have household insurance. So you don't have a house, you don't have insurance because you were not wise enough to sacrifice your Nando's 200 meal to go and buy a light that can be charged so that during the electricity cuts, you can have some lights. What does it mean? Such a person is preparing for the unexpected. That person is wise. They bought extra oil. Now, I can give you the spiritual side of it, but if it cannot be applied, it's of no use. A wise person... Here's a very important one. A wise person has a key rack in his house so that the keys are in one place. You don't turn the whole house upside down every time you're leaving the house because you can't find the keys. You don't know where it is. A wise person knows that I have a tendency to leave my keys anywhere and everywhere. That is why we have a key rack, so that it's not lost. Now, you see, oil is the anointing. Oil. It is the anointing. In the New Testament, oil is the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God must make us wiser. It must not make us shout and scream louder. It must make you wiser. Okay? So wisdom will make you know how to plan for the unexpected circumstances that can take place in your life. In this way, you are immunizing yourself. You are protecting yourself from a lot of harmful circumstances that you can find yourself in. Now, Matthew 25 verse 6, and at midnight there was a cry heard, and the bridegroom was coming, and they all went out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should be not enough for us and you, but go to those who sell and buy oil for yourselves. Now, midnight is a time of crisis. Wisdom knows how to plan for such a time, because we all have midnight situations in our lives. We know the firstborn of Egypt was slain at midnight, Exodus 11 verse 4. Ruth lay at the feet of Boaz at midnight, Ruth chapter 3 verse number 8. Paul and Silas were singing in the prison at midnight in the book of Acts chapter 16, and many other examples. So many good Christians can trim their lamps at midnight only to realize there's no oil. You see, the wise virgins did not share, and you might say, what kind of Christians were they? They did not share their oil with the foolish virgins or with those that did not have oil. Wisdom is knowing how not to take your pearls and throw it before the swine. I'll tell you why. Because the wise spent money and bought oil. The foolish did not buy oil. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? You see, the oil is not free. It costs because it's valuable. At that time, they realized, listen, we have to go and buy oil. There's a cost to this anointing. There's a cost to get this oil. The wise know that the oil costs. So they were willing to spend their money on something valuable, because it would prepare them for the unexpected. So to be immunized, you should know that oil costs and you should know what to spend your money on. You should know where to invest it. So wisdom knows what is valuable. Wisdom knows what is valuable. Okay? Because while the foolish went to buy the oil, at that moment they realized that we are not prepared for the unexpected. We have not spent our money on what is valuable. And while they were gone, the bridegroom came and he went into the wedding and the door was shut. Now, you see, when you don't prepare for the unexpected and you don't spend your money on what is valuable, this is what you will suffer from. You will suffer from a missed opportunity. The door will be shut. Wisdom knows how to grab that opportunity through preparation. Wisdom knows how to take hold of that one opportunity because you spend money on what is valuable. You invest in something that is valuable. Now, too often, people don't know how to invest in oil. You see, you have to go and buy the oil because the wise virgins told the foolish virgin, you must go and buy oil from those who sell, buy for yourself. So there is a seller of oil. That person who sells the oil to you, and it's costly. Now we are using secular terms, buy and sell. Okay, we are using secular terms, buy and sell. But in the kingdom of God, it is not buying and selling, it is about the sacrifice to receive the oil. It's cost, it must cost you something. I'm not talking about monetary terms now. I'm talking about, do you know what is valuable so that you can make a sacrifice to get it? Julian said something very powerful. He said, listen, if you know that all the meetings are online, you should be investing in a laptop, you should be investing in getting a Wi-Fi router, you should be investing in getting a data plan, because you know that I need to be online in the meeting. That means you know where the seller of oil is. And it's going to cost you to get it. That means you have a value system. You worked it out. You're a wise man. A lot of people cannot work out that. If you need oil in your life, it's going to cost you. You have to know how to invest in it. And that oil will make sure the door is open for you. Now, when the bridegroom came and those who were ready, listen to this verse, Matthew 25:10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready, so that means the wives who had bought oil, prepared for the unexpected, they were ready. They went in with him to the wedding and the door was closed. That means they entered into the wedding. They entered into the place of intimacy. They entered into the place of covenant. They entered into the place of grace transaction. And the door was shut. Afterwards, the virgins also came and saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and he said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Now, I read this somewhere else also. Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. But when you go to Matthew 7:21, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. That means not everyone who calls him Lord will enter into dominion. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in your name, we cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name. And then it says, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Same thing that the parable says, the Lord will say, I do not know you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now here's a shocker. The shocker is this. When you are foolish, it is regarded as lawlessness, unrighteous, illegal, and wicked. And this is what will happen. The door will be shut. The opportunity will be missed because you did not know how to prepare for the unexpected. You did not know how to spend your money on what is valuable. You did not know about the principle of sacrifice to be ready when that door is open. In life, many doors will be open for you. But if you are not ready, if you are not wise, you will miss that door. Lawlessness is when we are not prepared. Simply means we did not take the word and we did not apply it. So if you want to be immunized, it requires us to become wiser in this life. How do you get wisdom? I don't have time to cover that this morning, but if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. Even David said, when I read your word, when I did your commandments, I became wiser. So you need to know that wisdom is the first fruit. It is the principal thing. And as we become wiser in this world, like Daniel and his friend, you will be immunized from many circumstances. May the Lord give you the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and understanding and give you revelation and open your eyes to see the inheritance that we have received in Christ. May we not squander the oil that we have received. May we value it. May we know that it costs. May we make every effort to ensure that our lamps always have oil. The Lord bless you. Amen.